إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, we begin as always in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted, the most merciful, the restorer of all mercy. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide, the none can lead astray. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses in his infinite knowledge to leave astray, the none can guide. And we bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in all of existence is the only one that is worthy and deserving of our complete, unconditional love, obedience, and worship. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his final prophet and messenger, sending peace and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wives and his family members and his companions and all those who follow their footsteps until the day of judgment, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the 21st of Ramadan, and we should reflect on how quickly this month passed. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you expect something or anticipate something, or your year or your life revolves around something, it passes fairly quickly. And if we were to sit and think for a second how quickly this month passed, and the year, and the last milestone of our lives and our childhood, we will realize that this is our entire existence. It is all like a day or two. It is all like the blink of an eye. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He allows us to see that day in and day out, year in and year out, so we can reflect on our final appointment with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we beg Him to allow us to complete this month in a manner that pleases Him, to allow us to reach Laylatul Qadr and to perform therein in a manner that pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to allow our entire lives to be in a manner that pleases Him and to return us to Him upon that. Allahumma ameen. And the second thing I want us to reflect on here on the 21st of Ramadan is the commemoration of the conquest of Mecca. As we know, 1,430 years ago today, or yesterday, the Prophet ﷺ, after 21 years of revelation and struggle and patience and persecution and oppression, death and destruction, he ﷺ entered Mecca on the 20th of Ramadan, 8 years after the Hijrah. And Mecca in its entirety became Muslim shortly thereafter. And he was victorious, and his mission was coming to an end, completing the mission Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him upon, and he died shortly thereafter. And this is an event that we should commemorate and teach our children and know ourselves. Because in it there's so many lessons, and it's tied to Ramadan in so many ways. So, to quickly go over some of the details, in the sixth year after the Hijrah to Al-Madinah, 19 years after prophethood began, as you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he entered into a truce with Quraysh in the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. And in this truce, they agreed for 10 years of peace without war and many other conditions, one of which was any tribe that wishes to enter a pact with Muhammad ﷺ and the Muslims can do so freely. And any tribe that enters into a pact with Quraysh and Mecca can do so freely as well. And any tribe that enters on either side cannot be attacked or supported against another tribe that's allied with the other group. If those two tribes were to go at war with one another, as was very common in the Arabian Peninsula, they're free to do so. But then Quraysh and the Prophet ﷺ could not aid them. And any attack on a tribe allied to one group would be equal to an attack on Mecca or Medina. So many tribes began to enter into alliances with Quraysh and with the Prophet ﷺ, and Banu Bakr entered into an alliance with Quraysh, and Banu Khuza'ah entered into alliance with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, amongst the other tribes that entered into pacts and oaths. And it so happened that 2 years after this truce, in the 8th year after the Hijrah, 2 years after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Banu Bakr had a feud with Banu Khuza'ah. Banu Bakr is with who? Is with Quraysh, and Banu Khuza'ah is with who? The Prophet ﷺ. They're allied accordingly. And Banu Bakr had a feud with Banu Khuza'ah, and they chose this time to exact it. They're free to do so. But what they did first was notify Quraysh. And Quraysh was supposed to stay neutral. And instead they told them, we will provide you with weapons, whatever you need as our allies, but make sure you do so secretly and quickly, and do not make it known that had anything to do with us. If you could do it at night, that would be great. So Banu Bakr did so, but Banu Khuza'ah, as they were escaping, because they were surprised and it was a massacre, they ran in the direction of Mecca, the nearest city. And as you know, the area surrounding Mecca is haram, it's a sanctuary, fighting is not allowed. And they recognize that even as mushrikun, even as polytheists. So they enter into Mecca, and Banu Bakr, they violate the sanctity of the haram, and they kill Banu Khuza'ah there as they're fleeing towards Mecca seeking sanctuary. So instead of it being a quick night raid and ambush, now it's a huge controversy. That these people were seeking refuge in Mecca, a sanctuary city until today, where fighting is forbidden. And then they were killed despite that. So it spreads all over the Arabian Peninsula and it reaches the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And this is a huge violation of the pact, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So he decides ﷺ to make a move on Mecca. It's been 20 years now. 21 long years of this struggle, of patience, of warfare, of trying to make it work, of calling them to Islam with the best manners. And they refused. And now he has decided, by the inspiration, the wisdom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired him with, that this is it. So Abu Sufyan comes to Medina, as you may know, and he tries to negotiate with the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ refuses to give him audience. Does not even respond to him. He goes to Abu Bakr. He goes to Umar. He goes to Ali. And he does not find anyone compassionate. Not even his own daughter, Umm Habiba, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they all know what has happened. And he told them ﷺ beforehand, Abu Sufyan is going to come to try to continue this treaty. But they have violated it already and there is no hope for their treaty. It's done. It's been two long decades of giving them opportunities, now it's over. So when he came, he did not find a welcoming environment in Medina, even with his own family. To the extent that he told Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma, is there no hope that maybe your son Al-Hasan, who's a few years old, can come with me outside and declare his protection for me? Because as you know, in the Muslim society, anyone can declare protection for another, even a child. But this child barely understood, but he was so desperate. This is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a soft spot for him, and he'll even respect that if he can just declare that I'm under his protection from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course they refused. So he decided then to go back to Mecca, humiliated, dishonored, humbled, realizing that they could do nothing but wait. And they set up people around Mecca, around the borders, to see, to scout when or if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent word out to the tribes of Ghatafan and Muzaynah and Salim, and all the tribes who within that 2 years of truce with Mecca entered Islam. Thousands of them. That 2 years ago at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, there were 1,400 Muslims with him. And now he sent out to a call to these tribes, Muzaynah and Sulaym and all and Ghatafan and so many others, who just 3 years ago came in thousands to surround Medina under the command of Abu Sufyan in the Battle of Ahzab. And now these same thousands answer the call of the Prophet ﷺ to meet 15 miles outside of Mecca. And so he goes ﷺ, and their total is 10,000. 6,000 Muslims. 2 years ago, it was 1,400. Today, it is 10,000. 3 years ago, a majority of these people had one intention, to destroy Medina. And today, they're under one undisputed leader, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you can see the greatness. And on the way, they meet the uncle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abbas, and he accepts Islam. And when they come to the outskirts of Mecca, less than a day's march away, 15 miles, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, up until that point, he commanded everyone to keep it a secret. And at that point now, they're 15 miles outside of Mecca, he commands everyone, every single individual, to light a fire. It's no longer important to keep it a secret, that's it, we are here, and he made dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep this matter from reaching Quraysh, from them being aware until it's too late. So now that they're outside of Mecca, he says, everyone light your own individual fire. 10,000 fires on the outskirts of Mecca. And they can see it from the city. And they're wondering, what on earth is this? And Abu Sufyan happened to be one of the people who used to scout the outskirts of the city as well, and he runs into Al-Abbas. And he's with another individual at night. And he says to this individual, who was from Khuza'ah, the tribe that was attacked by Banu Bakr, and this man happened to live in Mecca, he told him, who are these people? What on earth are these numbers coming here? And we had no knowledge of them approaching the city. So the man tells him, perhaps it is my tribe, Khuza'ah, who have come to take revenge. And he told him, this is no way that this is Khuza'ah. They will not amount this number, they will not be able to do this effort. And as they're discussing, they're not sure, and it's perhaps already in the back of the mind of Abu Sufyan what's actually going on, Al-Abbas sees them. And he tells him, and he was an old friend with Abu Sufyan, he tells him, your blood is no longer inviolable. As the leader of Mecca, the brains behind so many attacks on Medina, assassination attempts on the Prophet ﷺ, usurping of their wealth, killing of their people endlessly, your blood has no sanctity. Your only hope is to come with me to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he brings him, long story short, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, despite ignoring him in Medina, despite him being a war criminal, a mass murderer, he tells Al-Abbas, let him spend the night with you in your tent, and we'll see how he comes in the morning. Because up until that point, Abu Sufyan was still insisting on his old ways. Still insisting on not accepting this message. Still trying to tell the Prophet ﷺ, extend the truce, instead of acknowledging that he's the Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give him the night, maybe he'll wake up to his senses. And he comes the next night, and the Prophet ﷺ, as soon as he comes, he begins the discourse and he tells him, Ya Abu Sufyan, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لَكَ أَنْ تَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, isn't it about time, Abu Sufyan, that you know, you recognize and acknowledge that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah? And Abu Sufyan is a proud man. He's the leader of the city. He's been leading Mecca for the last 10 years against the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, if there are other gods besides Allah, I wouldn't be in this situation. They would have done something for me. He still can't say it. So the Prophet ﷺ says, oh Abu Sufyan, wayhak, woe to you. أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لَكَ أَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Isn't it about time that you recognize I'm the Messenger of Allah? And he says, as for this one, I still can't do it. Not convinced. So Al-Abbas prods him a little bit, says, Abu Sufyan, it's not time to do this. You're on the edge, they're about to kill you. Umar already argued to kill him, not to give him an audience with the Prophet ﷺ, but Al-Abbas insisted. And the Prophet ﷺ respected that. So finally, to save his own life in the beginning, but later faith entered his heart, Abu Sufyan accepts Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ, just to further convince him, he tells Al-Abbas to stand with him at the foot of the valley the next morning as the Prophet ﷺ enters Mecca. And 10,000 Muslims strong walk past him one by one. And he sees their banners. And he says, what banner is this, O Al-Abbas? And he tells him, this is Muzayna. And he says, what did I do to Muzayna? Why are they here? And he says, who are these people? He says, they are Sulaym. And these people are on the fan, tribe after tribe after tribe, thousands of individuals. And he says, why are all these people here? What link do they have together? What brought them under one banner? And Al-Abbas tells him, the only thing that can ever bring people like this under one banner is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until finally he sees the last group, people who you can't see their faces. They're armored and they're heavily clothed. And he says, and who are these people? And he says, this is the special contingent of Muhajirun al-Ansar. And amongst them is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, as for these people, they're unstoppable. Their faith brought them here, and there's nothing I can do. And so he tells Al-Abbas, Wallahi ya Abul Fadl, laqad asbaha mulk ibn akhika al-yawm azima. I swear, O Abul Fadl Al-Abbas, the kingdom of your nephew today is huge. And Abbas says, it's not a kingdom. He's not a king. This isn't a nation. بَلْ هِيَ النُّبُوَّةِ It is prophethood. It is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ultimate truth, the giver of victory. And finally, Abu Sufyan says, نعم إذن, I guess it is. What else could it be? What else could do this to this message, to this city? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Mecca, and as you know, there's a small symbolic resistance, almost no lives lost, only a few individuals, and he gives the honor to Abu Sufyan that he says, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be safe. Whoever enters into their own house and closes the door will be safe. Whoever enters the Masjid al-Haram will be safe. Whoever is not resisting will be safe. And the entirety of the city follows, like we said, except for a few individuals. And he enters sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they describe his entrance into the city, coming back home, where Dar al-Arqam was, and they struggled to learn in secret. Where he was married to Khadija for 25 years until her death after the boycott. Where he grew up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Jibreel alayhi sallam first descended upon him. All these good and difficult memories mixing together, you can imagine the emotion. And his state entering, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that his face was so low, it was almost touching the animal he was riding on. Humble. This is the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why he was reciting, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When there comes the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the conquest, then glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention His perfection. It's His victory. And seek forgiveness with Him. Indeed, and you see the people entering into Islam in waves. They're all going to enter Islam now. Thousands, hundreds of thousands. So seek forgiveness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, He is the often acceptor of repentance. And He comes to the Kaaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He breaks the idols one by one, reciting the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And say, the truth has come, undisputable, irresistible, overwhelming. The truth has come and falsehood has perished, because by its nature, falsehood is bound to perish. And he destroys the idols one by one, and he calls for the key of the Kaaba. And Uthman ibn Talha comes from Ben Abdul Dar, the keepers of the keys of the Kaaba for generations. And he tells Uthman, did you expect that one day you would be giving me the keys of the Kaaba to do as I please with them, to give them to whoever I want? And he says that day would be a very sour day indeed. Uthman can't imagine that the keys would be taken from him. And they all expected that they'd be given to Banu Hashim, the Prophet's own family. So he took the keys, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He opened the door, and he gave them back to Uthman. And he said, it will be with your family forever. And it's with the Banu Abdul Dar, the children of Uthman, until today, 1,430 years later. That when the dignitaries and the people come to the Kaaba to enter it, one of their descendants is the one who opens the door. He told them, al-yawm yawmul birr wal wafa. Al-Kama calls sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today is the day of piety, upholding the ties of kinship, and keeping the oaths. It's your key, keep it. And he enters the Kaaba and he prays therein, and he commands Bilal to make the adhan on top of the Kaaba. And some people belittle that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't find anyone except this crow, meaning his, referencing his black skin, to make adhan. And Abu Sufyan was amongst them. And as they're saying this, he says, as for me, I will not say anything. Because if I say anything, these very pebbles will tell the Messenger of Allah. Some of them were not Muslim yet, and he knew this was not acceptable. And the Prophet ﷺ came to them, and it was only three or four of them, and he says, you said this, and he said that. And Abu Sufyan said, I said nothing. Right? Because he knew that the Prophet ﷺ knew from why. And these people were so shocked that they were together, separate and private. And one of them was the brother of Abu Jahl, Al-Harith. And they said, there's no way you could have known this, and they accepted Islam. And so the Prophet ﷺ, now the final step, he calls out to the entire Quraysh who are watching behind their windows, who are afraid to exit, who are remembering what they put him and his companions through, that they killed Ammar, and they mutilated Hamza, and they killed Mus'ab, and they beat continuously, and they've been living for the last 20 years using the homes and the wealth of the Muslims, and that some of them remained oppressed in Mecca until then, and that they continued to wage war against him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they financed campaigns against him from other tribes and other nations, and that they tried to assassinate him numerous times. This is what's going through their minds. But he calls them out, come outside. Come outside of your homes, come to this enclave, to this opening of the Masjid al-Haram of the Kaaba. Come out to your new undisputed leader. He doesn't say that, but this is how they see it. He's a conqueror. It's a conquest after all. And he says, Ya ma'ashar Quraysh, ma tadhunnuna anni fa'ilun bikum. O groups of Quraysh, what do you think will happen today? What will I do after all of this? The blood, sweat, and the tears. The exile that he put his family through. All this torture. What's going to happen today? And they say, Akhun Kareem, Ibn Akhin Kareem. An honorable brother, the son of an honorable brother. That's all he ever was, and they knew it. Today it's not Sahirun Kadhaab. Today it's not Majnoon. Today it's not Bihi Jinnah. All these claims, after 20 years, they dropped them immediately. And they said, an honorable brother, a generous brother, the son of our generous brother. We know you. You're our family. You're Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he tells them, I'll tell you like Yusuf told his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. There is no blame on you today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمْ مُطُلَقَى. You're free to go. Go home. That's it. That's all that needed to be done. That when other companions said, today is the day of vengeance. الْيَوْمْ يَوْمُ الْمَلْحَمَةِ As Sa'd ibn Ubadah said, entering the city, today is the day of an epic battle. Today is the day of vengeance. Today the hurma, the sanctity of the Kaaba will be lifted. That bloodshed will be allowed therein. And the Prophet said, no. الْيَوْمْ يَوْمُ الْمَرْحَمَةِ Today is the day of mercy. He changed one letter in that word, but changed the world. Today is the day of mercy. And he took the banner that Sa'd had and he gave it to his son. That's not what we're here to do. That's not what this message is about. And he stood therein for a few days. And the people came to give him allegiance. And they entered Islam in waves. And he appointed people over them to teach them Islam. And then he went home to Medina. And this is all he ever wanted. This was the crux of his message. The summation, the conclusion of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for this city, for this world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill the meanings and lessons of this historical date that we commemorate today in our hearts and in our actions, and to allow them to be ever evident in our ummah. Wa kullu qawli hadha astaghfirullahi wa lakum fastaghfiruhu wa ghufur rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'ath. Quickly, the conquest of Mecca is not the only military victory or huge conquest that occurred in Ramadan. Before it was the Battle of Badr. And after so many throughout Muslim history, in the times of the companions and those after and for millennia, for a millennium and a half, the battles and the crusades and the Battle of Ain Jalut, over and over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that the month of Ramadan is a month of conquest. It's a month of victory. Not just militarily. Not just physically. It's about conquering yourself. This is what Ramadan is all about. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, leave off the physical needs for a little bit and conquer yourself. And we see that in the victory of Mecca. That you conquer your fears. The Muslims wanted the truce to continue. They didn't want it to be violated. They enjoyed the peace and the da'wah that was going on. And they hated that it was violated, that warfare was on the horizon again. But they trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did their part, and barely any lives were lost. And the people entered Islam in waves. So you conquer your fears. You trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe in His promise. That whatever you spend for His sake, He will give it to you. You remember that next week when you're called to fundraise and you've been called over and over again for different things, but you trust in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you always fulfill. This is the type of community that you are, and He will never leave you hanging. That you conquer your own ignorance by learning your history, the history of the conquest of Mecca, the kind of man he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy that he showed people, the real meaning behind his message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you conquer your anger, that you forgive when it's most difficult, when you're most deserving of vengeance, when your rights are the most violated, and you're the most able to fulfill them or to seek them out, you still forgive. This is who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the summary of his message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you conquer your arrogance. He entered into Mecca, acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, his face almost touching the back of his animal. That's almost an awkward position of how low he is going, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show that he's not Muhammad the conqueror, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's Muhammad rahmatan lil alameen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him, the mercy to all of the worlds. So there's so many aspects and characteristics and actions that Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use Ramadan to conquer in ourselves. And if we conquer what's within, if we conquer our own selves and our own inclinations and our own actions, it's only natural that we'll be united as a community. It's only natural that we'll overcome the adversity that we see in the world around us. It's only natural that we'll continue to climb to better ourselves and our communities and our families and then all of humanity. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This is the point of it all. And we see that not just in the conquest of Mecca, not just in Ramadan, but in every single story and narration of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do yourself a favor and pick up the sealed nectar, or pick up When the Moon Split, or watch a series about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do yourself a favor and look at Ramadan, even though as we're coming to a close of this month, of an opportunity to conquer at least one action that's been plaguing you. One characteristic that you want to overcome and conquer it this month, as this month comes to a close, seeking help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His mercy as He made it available, especially available in these last 10 nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach it, and may He bestow His favor upon us and forgive us for our shortcomings. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب اللهم بلغنا ليله القدر اللهم بلغنا ليله القدر اللهم بلغنا ليله القدر واجعلنا فيها من المقبولين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وصلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقم الصلاة